Okay. So welcome to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, L.D. Sledge, the author of the book titled Words in Flight. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. I've done a lot of writing, and I've got a lot of stuff published. So you just tell me what we need to talk about. I can just start talking, but you just tell me.
Sure. I know that you have a lot of books, but first of all, I want to know a little bit about you. Who is Mr. L.D. Sledge?
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I tell you, I'm an old boy. I'm 90 years old on July 22nd, and I'm a country boy. I was raised in Northwest Louisiana near Texas, and I went to school in LSU in Baton Rouge, and I went to law school there, and I got a degree, and I went on to in the Army, and then when I got out, I went to practice law in Baton Rouge in New Orleans for 43 years. And I retired about 25 years ago. And I had always been writing and always wanted to make enough money to be able to be free to write. And I never got that much, but I got enough to where I could coast a little bit. But I had started writing back in, as soon as I got out of the Army in 1963. I wrote a story about me, a court martial that I'd won, defended and won. It's called Command Influence, and it's about me trying a case in spite of the fact that they all wanted him to be convicted, and I lucked out and got him acquitted. But I said, I lucked out. I'm not sure justice lucked out, but he was, I think he was guilty, but you got to do what you got to do. But I did that one. And when I got out of there, I was practicing law and I started doing personal injury work. And I did that for probably until the end of my deal. I tried about 200 judge and jury trials during that time. And then I would start writing books and poetry and all kind of stuff. And so I've got a whole bunch of books that I've published. I've published one that's called, Dawn's Revenge. It's a thriller set in the New Orleans French Quarter. And I wrote another one called Heirloom for a Client. And I could put my name on that one, and it's about New Orleans. It's a thriller in New Orleans. And I had I wrote a fantasy. It's called Nimrod's Peril, and it's just a total it's a total fantasy. I love fantasy. That's what I used to read all the time. And I was wanting to see if my computer's charged. That's good. Thing is that I would write sometimes as I was in a, say for example, I was in a deposition, boring deposition. I'd just write poetry. I'd write a little, like I say, there'd be a thought would come by. And I'd grab it before it get away, and I'd start writing about it. And I'd write a little short piece. I'd call it a poem. And one time I was working for a firm in New Orleans, and I was driving all over the state all the time representing clients who were cities and getting them some money on tax-free bonds. And I was just riding all over the state. And then when I started practicing law, I had most of my clients were out of Baton Rouge. They were way down in the country. and a lot of Cajun clients because I did a whole lot of maritime work. Anyway, I'd be on the road and I'd write poetry. I'd write all kind of stuff. Anyway, you mentioned about a book of poetry. I just got this one back from Amazon. Let's see what, that one.
Yeah, that's the last one, right? Words in Flight.
Yeah, Words in Flight.
And what initially drew you in the world of writing?
What do I do?
Yeah, what drew you in that world of writing? Like, there wasn't a specific moment that you think, okay, I want to be an author. I want to write about this experience.
Okay, I wrote a book, and I wish I could have, I should have just got them out of my bookshelf, because it's about that many books, you know, side by side.
Yeah.
It's called, I should change the name. It said, "Do you have a book that should be written? This book will tell you how to do it, and it'll tell you every step you need to take in deciding whether you want to write it or not. What it should be about, and it even gets very fundamental, like the English words that you normally use. And people in writing don't really understand that there's a thing that they call, I got off track thinking of something else. To describe your writing, it's kind of like colorful fiction.
Okay.
Instead of saying, you know, you write in active words and not passive words, you know, you'd say the dog was barking. You say the dog was barking so much, or the echo of the dog against the wall barking scared the chickens, or something like that, you know. But you describe enough about the scene. It might be a nonfiction story, but you can rewrite about it, and it's colorful, and it grabs the reader. And that's one thing that you should learn to write about. And don't let it just kind of just be flat. You know, people don't read much. They get bored after a while. But you can't get too colorful, because you'll wind up... You see, that's the difference between nonfiction and fiction. Nonfiction has no fiction in it. It's all fact. You know, I read a lot of history, for example. You want to make sure that it's all factual. It's not a fake. I would recommend about writing that a person do two things. One, they read. They need to read a lot. And then also, they need to write. Now, I went to school in this little country town. And this little country town had 150 people in it. My daddy was the mayor, and we had a very small, kind of consolidated high school. And I graduated with 25 people in my graduating class. I never wrote a thing. My English teacher never had us write a thing. And we had no chemistry, we had no music, we had no art, we had none of the aesthetics there. We had a baseball team and a basketball team. I was the first string pitcher in the baseball team. Fanned 13 people out my last game. I had a pitching curve they couldn't hit. And I was pretty good. I might have weighed 130 pounds, but they couldn't hit that ball. Anyway, so the thing is, my point is that when I went to college, and that summer, I got out of high school, I went straight away to LSU, and it was like 300 miles away from my little country town, and I was the only person there from my town, or even any, I didn't know anybody. And when my English course, I had to write a theme. What I got back looked like it had been in a war. It was bleeding all over. It had red marks all over the thing. And I never forgot that. And I said, oh, my God, I'd never be a writer. But I said, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to be a writer. I can write. Well, as a lawyer, you need to write briefs and you need to write a lot of stuff. But I was still never confident enough about writing. And one time, now this was about the year 19, let's see, when was this? Oh, about 1990, I guess. I got up in the morning and I decided to write something. And I looked out the window, it was spring, and I saw this tree was blooming, and I started writing about trees blooming. And I wrote it. And the next morning I got up and wrote another little thing like that. And I started writing every morning, and I wrote every morning for about 5 years. God, I'll tell you, I have a bookshelf full of single space stuff I had written then and after. I've sent off to different, groups that I was writing with. Anyway, it just like hit me. I can write. I can actually write. And I could write and not worry about being right or wrong. Because I learned that if I do this, I sit down and I write while the heat is on, and I'm cooking, I can go back and fix it. I don't need to do it then. I'll interrupt my line of my heat. I'll turn my heat off trying to get all that right. But I do it to where I don't make too many errors, but I don't worry about doing it as I write. When I write a whole section, I'll go back and maybe fix it. And then when I got the whole thing done, whether it's an essay or a blog or an ebook or something, I'll go back and I'll correct it and I'll put a lot of finishing touches on it. And that's where the creativity comes about, I guess. But I know where I'm headed when I write something. To some degree. I don't bust my battery. Hold on. Whoop. Sorry about that. When you go to write something, you got to have a compass or something. You need to know where you're headed. You don't just start and hoping it'll happen. When I wrote Command Influence, I didn't have to worry about that too much because it was something that I knew had happened to me and I could write about it. And since then, by the way, I have been writing probably a ton of little short stories, and I got them onto Amazon now, about my trials and my doing stuff in the Army. And I've got a series of those into Amazon as ebooks. And they're about my little stories, little things that happened to me trying cases. I knew all those. I didn't have any problem writing about those because it was a lot of imagination. Yeah, because I write with imagination. However, I didn't have to make it up as I went. Dawn's Revenge, I had a client back in that day, started when I started, and the mother had a child, and he was kind of a bad boy, but he had been in juvenile detention, and he had killed himself. They said he made And I don't believe it. I didn't never believe he killed himself, because later I learned that in juvenile detention, they took a lot of kids who didn't have any influence or whatever, and they did stuff to them back in the back. And they wound up killing that kid. But anyway, so I started a story in New Orleans about that. And it turned out, you know, it became that this lawyer, young lawyer, had it. He found out what it was. A girl had been murdered and raped. And a little girl, let's say little girl, she was 16 and a beautiful girl. And what happened was that he found out that it was the sheriff was involved with mental health. And they had been raping these little girls, and they'd been doing all kind of bad stuff. And so they decided they'd chase him and kill him. And that's what it was about. All the way through all the New Orleans, the French Quarter, and the swamps and so on. And I got some of the highest praise by reviews I've got so far. Anyway, I just made that up as I went, you know? That was one thing I could do. On Nimrod's Peril, I had no idea where I was headed, but I used to read science fiction. And there was this young guy on this planet, and he had a traveling companion, and it was a beautiful human-sized mouse. And they were in love with each other. But that was as far as it went, because she's a mouse and he was a human. And I made a story up about that one. And I got a huge amount of praise on that one because it just took off. I mean, it had all kind of ramifications and stuff. And so whenever you start, if you can make an outline, fine. If you want to do that, then you'll have a roadmap. However, I have a lot of people ask me to write a story about their life. And I send them about a 5-question query about them wanting to write the book. And usually when I send it to them, I don't ever hear from them again, because it convinces them they're not up to it. A lot of people tell somebody, you ought to write a book. Oh, that's great. That's great. It's complimentary. It's a nice thing, but they really don't have their heart in it. They don't have their, you know, they're not going to stay the whole length of time. And I can say, look, I charge, when I ghostwrite something, I tell them I charge 25 cents a word, 25 cents a word to write this for you. And that's not much. I mean, I can write a good book for that. And I write most of the stories for somebody's life story. I can write that. And that's what I'm doing also at the same time. Now, I got a list of seniors' names. It's only a 3,000 email list. I got 3,000 emails qualified. There are people that have a house. They live in a home that's worth $1 million. And that's all of sets it out. So I call myself a legacy writer. And I send them letters out every two a week to all of those 6,000, 3,000 people. I'm going to expand it to 6,000. And people call me and want to write a story about their lives. And that's something else I'm doing. My God, I'm a busy boy. Yeah. I love doing it. But also, you see, if you got the aesthetics, when I got out of the law business, I was always wanting to get out of the law business so that I could write. And I quit 3 times. And the last time, that was it. I had a burnout. Here's something I'll tell people. Whenever you go to do something, whether it's something you really love, you got the heat on to make it right. You know, it's just like, I want to do this. And you can do it. Now, you set a goal for yourself about this particular thing, whether it's writing a book or or becoming, you know, a great mechanic or whatever you want to do. You set a goal. And that goal is, I'm going to be the best mechanic, diesel mechanic in town. I want to be the best nonfiction writer, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can get there. I wanted to be a lawyer, and I became a lawyer. At one time, I had 18 people working for me. I really had a big business. I had a huge amount of clients. I was called the Hammer. That's my name, Sledgehammer. And they said, he gonna put the hammer to you. Anyway, so you make sure, keep your eye open, because, you know, I wanted to become a competent lawyer. Well, it didn't take about less than 10 years, 5 years maybe, I became a competent lawyer. I had tried a bunch of cases. I'd won them, nearly all of the cases. I had a big clientele going, and I had become competent. Guess what happens when you become competent, writer, lawyer, whatever? You better get yourself a new goal somewhere, because you can have this happen to you. You can actually have a burnout. You can burn out. And that's it. You're just not interested in it. You're not good at it anymore. So you can set yourself a new goal. Well, I was in it 43 years. And after 40-something years, I had become a super competent lawyer, trial lawyer. I was good at all of that stuff. And I never made a juror cry, but I have made them seriously look like they were. Thing is, that you need to just keep track of yourself and make sure that you are still learning and you still got something, a goal that's worthy out there to try to achieve. And so that's one thing. So that's what happened to me. And I should have quit a long time before that, because I had enough money several times. I had several multi-million dollar cases that I won. So anyway, back to writing. So after I left the law business in 2000, I went back to music and art. I'd never done much art, and I did a few pieces of art, and I had a lot of compliments. First thing you know, people said, you need to get yourself a gallery. And I did. I had a big gallery of 50 paintings in it. And it was a lot of popularity there. Well, during the same time, when I was like in the fourth grade, Mama, we didn't have music in school, no band, no music teachers. But 10 miles away, there was a music teacher. She taught classical, how to read music. Okay, I went, I learned how. And then for some reason, I think I quit or whatever. And then I started back in the 10th grade and took a few lessons, about that much. And then I quit again. But I had learned enough to where I could read, say, Clair de Lune by, the original composers and stuff. I could read all of those and started collecting music and play a little off and on. And then I learned that I really loved the piano. And so I'd go start playing piano in restaurants during, a little, music while they ate and stuff. And people asked me to, like Saturday night, somebody's having a birthday party, and they asked me to come and play for them while they're having a party. Well, I just bring my piano and I play for them. I love doing that. I love writing. I love music. I love my art. I love writing. I wrote a cookbook either. You want to say something?
Yeah, I saw that. You have also like notebooks, right? A cookbook. And what else do you have? The books that you write, the art, the music. So there's a lot of things that you have done. And I want to ask you, like, there's some piece of advice that you want to tell to the listeners that are here now. They're thinking probably and start writing and they feel like they cannot. There's something that you want to share with them?
Well, okay, say that again. What it is?
If like a piece of advice for those who are thinking on start writing.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, first thing, start writing. Start. Saddle up. Get at it, you know. And it don't matter. You're not writing for the Pulitzer Prize. You don't even have to show it to anybody. You can, you know, my advice about that is just write. Just write. And sooner or later, it'll either grab you and it will lead you on and you become better and better, or you give up. But you'll never feel right until you have started writing something. And now some people, I've noticed something about the educational system nowadays. When I went to school back in the 40s, the teachers had a classical education of sorts, I guess. What they did, they taught you cursive when you wrote. And you could have beautiful writing, you know. They don't teach you cursive anymore. They don't teach you that. They don't have you write anything much anymore. And people, I know a lot of kids now that have a hard time spelling words, have a hard time phrasing things because they don't know definitions of words. I had two sons, and I sent them to school. It wasn't a public school, but even that school didn't have a dictionary in the course room. Can you believe that? They say that they get the definition of the word from the whole subject matter. It's supposed to figure it out. No, the word run has about 20 different definitions, you know, and you need to learn how to, first of all, if you're reading something and you suddenly get stupid and you don't understand what you just read, that was a word that stopped you. You go back and find that word and clear it up. Make sure you get all the definitions and write some sentences with them if you have to. But you make that word your word, and you can get some confidence. But then a lot of people give up the whole subject because there's a misunderstood word somewhere. Most of all nowadays is they're loaded. But advice to someone wanting to write